It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hi, welcome to, where are we? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. So welcome, this is Jackie Hahn, and you are listening to The Psychic View on Psychic Access Talk Radio. And I'd like to give everyone a warm welcome as we broadcast tonight. And we're going to be discussing crop circles and world teacher with our very special guest, Dick Larson. And as with all our shows, this is just going to be another fantastic show. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts this evening. Maureen, hi, how are you tonight?
Hi, Jackie. I'm doing just great, thank you.
Oh, tell us a little bit about what you do, Maureen.
On a day-to-day basis? I'm joking. Yes,
whatever.
Well, I'm an intuitive advisor, and I have 25 years experience as a tarologist, is how I put it. I have the ability to see beyond the range of normal vision, which we all do, but it's something I focus on. I'm motivated by good intentions, and I maintain a very good degree of objectivity, and I'm well-versed in relationships and business ventures, past lives, and most importantly, old-fashioned spiritual development. There you have it.
And there you have it. Well, thank you, yeah. Maureen.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to bring on Steve Frampton. Hi, Steve. How are you this evening?
I think he's related to Peter Frampton. I've been trying to figure that out. I have to ask
him. Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. That's a question that I always get asked in the States.
Sing a song for us, Steve.
Oh. Happy birthday. I can't sing to save
my life.
I need to get a singing guide.
Peter, call your cousin Peter.
Well, it's great to be here this evening. As you guys know, my name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium. I give readings on Psychic Access as well. And I'm very, very interested in UFOs.
Nice. Well, then you've come to the right place this evening. We're going to have a lot of interesting discussion tonight with our guests, which I'm really excited about. So
me
thank
too.
You, Steve, for joining us. And Allura, welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jackie. How
good.
About you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I call myself a spiritual coach because I use my abilities to help you understand the nature of reality and why things are happening in your life as they are. And once you understand, you're empowered and balanced to make better decisions in whatever area of your life you're consulting about. So I use my clairvoyance and various intuitive abilities along with the Native American animal medicine and sacred path cards as a means to assist you. And that's basically what I do.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you for being here this evening. My name is Jackie, and I am a angel therapy practitioner, also do readings here on Psychic Access. I work closely with the angelic realm to bring forth messages from them that are always filled with love and compassion, and such, because what I find is that, you know, the people I connect with are really going through some tough times. Seems to be what's going on these days when we get calls from people, you know, they're really seeking some guidance and answers. So, my real gift is being able to communicate to them in a way that, you know, honors and respects them as well as myself, because I, you know, I'm somebody who also picks up a lot of, other people's energy, so I sense, you know, kind of what they're feeling and what's going on. So I always call the angels to guide me and be with me, because they're just a wonderful energy to work with. So that's a little bit about me. Tonight I'm going to be interviewing Dick Larson. And Dick is a counselor with a background in education who addresses the issues of meditation and practical spirituality. He's been a guest on radio talk shows nationwide, co-hosted a radio program, and produced and hosted a series of public access television shows that air around the nation. Crop circles have been appearing around the world for decades, but in recent years they have become more numerous and more beautiful and complex. Can they possibly be made by pranksters, or is their explanation more mysterious? Counselor and educator Dick Larson, a longtime student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings, says they are linked to an unprecedented planetary event that is just now taking place, the public emergence of the world teacher for the Aquarian Age. To find out more about Dick, please be sure to visit www.share-international.org. And please be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air readings with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later on, so make sure you have your pen and paper handy. If you were unable to catch our show on Working with Spirit with John Holland last week, you will find a recording archive link, as well as previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible. So please be sure to include others on our show. And I'm also happy to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting. Say that twice really fast. the show on People's TV Network. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our guests. Welcome to the show, Dick.
Thank you, Jackie. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to have you with us tonight.
So you want to talk about unusual events, huh?
Yeah, well, you're the expert here, so why don't we just jump right in? I have a question first and foremost, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure.
This may be something that a lot of people are wondering about. How do you think the world-famous crop circles are formed?
That's a great question, and I'm happy to answer that. First, could I tell your listeners a couple things, Jackie, that I would ask of them?
Of course.
As we talk tonight. Thank you. The first thing I would ask of your listeners is that they try to keep a little bit of an open mind. Now, most of us think we have an open mind, but it's more difficult than we imagine, because everybody is brought up with certain beliefs, and we've built our own belief system and our own sense of what's real and true for us, and to hear something that's outside that realm can be a little bit difficult. So I would just ask your listeners to do their best to keep an open mind, if they would, while we talk tonight. The second thing that I would ask of your listeners is that they not believe anything I say. The reason I say that, Jackie, is because that would be blind belief, and I can't recommend blind belief to anyone. All I ask is that they just run the information I have to present through their life experience, through their common sense, and see if any of it, maybe 10 or 20% of it, makes sense to them. And if so, great. I'll be very happy with that. The other thing I wanted to tell you is the sources for my information. The source for my information is something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. The Ageless Wisdom Teachings is actually a book, a little $5 book by that name, that people can buy on Amazon.com. I don't have anything to do with the profits from that or anything. On the Ageless Wisdom Teachings, the two most recent revealers or teachers of this Ageless Wisdom, a woman named Alice Bailey wrote about 20 books in the 1940s, And a man named Benjamin Creme, that's spelled C-R-E-M-E, Benjamin Creme, his books, he's written about 14 or 15 books, they're also available on Amazon, is still traveling the world today giving out these teachings. And he lives in London, and it is Benjamin Creme. I've interviewed him on television. I've talked to him many times, done meditations with him and so on. And he just makes a lot of sense to me, and he is the primary source for most of the information I'll be sharing tonight. So thank you for letting me just say that, Jackie.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's wonderful to share that, and certainly gives people, you know, the perspective of where you're coming from as well, and as well as, you know, checking out those books that you mentioned to us. So I'm sure they appreciated that as well as I do.
Yeah, he is in touch, by the way, with one of the spiritual masters of planet Earth. Some people call them ascended masters. They're great beings who have gone through human evolution ahead of us and have, thank goodness, stuck around to help inspire and guide humanity behind the scenes over the millennia, and inspired some of our greatest writers and scientists and artists and so on. And Benjamin Creme is in 24-hour contact with one of those great masters, and so the information comes from them. Now, crop circles. Crop circles are real. It's not about two guys strapping boards to their feet and stomping around in the cornfield. I mean, they tried it. They did a couple that way. But you can tell by looking at the pictures on the Internet and on YouTube and so on. They're so complex and so huge. Some of them are 2 and 3 football fields long and very intricate that couldn't possibly be made by a couple guys with boards strapped to their feet. And of course, they're not. They're made by, and this leads to another question, is are UFOs real? Because they're the ones, I would suggest to your listeners, they're the ones that are making the crop circles, the UFOs. The spaceships are from other planets, all in our solar system. There's life on every planet in our solar system, I'm told. And the more advanced planets have developed technology thousands of years ahead of ours and are here for several purposes. And we can talk about those later, but one of the reasons they're here is to make crop circles. And what they do, Jackie, they come in and they hover over a field. They already think what the design is going to be, and then they tell their ship. Their ship transmits thought. They can transmit their thoughts to the ship, and the ship knows how to make that crop circle, and they lower their spacecraft over the field. And in just a matter of 7-10 seconds, boom, they make the crop circle, and then they're up and gone. Some people have actually seen the light tracings of the making of the crop circles at night. They haven't seen the craft, I don't think, many times, but they've seen some of the light tracings from making the crop circles. And that's how they're made. They're made for specific reasons.
Wow.
Can I share those?
So I just wanted to interject quickly. So basically, it's the light, this magnificent light, so to speak, from the ship that is just like, boom. But they have the visual, so to speak, of what it's going to look like, and it's just instantaneous?
Exactly. The light is a form of energy, of course, and it's the energy that makes the crop circles, and that's why they can bend them. Their technology is so tremendous, they can bend them over and not break them. The plants grow just fine, even though they're pressed down like that into these intricate formations. And the energy stays there for some time, and people that have walked into the crop circles have said that they can feel the energy, and I have no doubt that that's true. And the reason they're doing it is twofold. Number one, it's a very pretty calling card that says, we're here, you know, without scaring us. They love us. They're trying to help us. They do not want to scare us. That's the last thing they want to do is scare us. So they're trying to very gently, very subtly leave calling cards, and the crop circles are calling cards telling us that they're here. Very nice.
Yeah, they're actually beautiful. Just to, you know, I have one of Benjamin Creme's books, and I was reading it and looking through in the pictures. It's just, it's amazing. And so, do each crop circle have a story to tell?
Well, some of them are symbolic, to tell a lesson to humanity, and people are working on those. But more importantly, Jackie, and I'm glad you asked, more importantly, they are marking magnetic or energetic vortices on our planet, areas where the energies come together on our planet. And the reason that they're marking those energetic locations on our planet with the crop circles, because once the crop is mowed down and it grows back the next year, the crop circle is still going to be there. Mm. They're marking them, and the reason they're doing it is because of a future technology that we are going to be receiving, as I understand it, from these masters who are going to be coming to planet Earth soon, and that's the great event that's going to be happening that we'll be talking about in a little bit.
Awesome.
To give us something called the technology of light. The technology of light will come in part from these energetic centers on our planet that these space brothers of ours, and they are our brothers, they're humanity, just like we are, that our space brothers are marking on our planet, and the technology of light will provide free energy worldwide for everyone, for every imaginable need that we have, from transportation to lighting to heating to air conditioning to whatever, free of charge and absolutely pollution-free.
Wow.
But they're not going to give us that technology yet, because they're not going to give it to us until we're ready to handle it properly. They know right now that if they gave us a technology that powerful, we would find some way to make a weapon out of it. You know?
I was going to say, we would probably just blow up and destroy it.
You're absolutely right, Jackie. Yeah. And so when we are done with war, which won't be too long in the future, I mean, probably less than 100 years, when we are done with war, we will be ready to start receiving the technology of light, and life will change in a hurry.
Wow.
So those are the two reasons for the crop circles primarily. One, a calling card that they're here. More and more they're going to be revealing themselves to us, the Space Brothers, as I understand it. There are thousands of craft up there now. The manufacturing planet is Mars. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Apparently the people on Mars are very industrious. They just love to work. They're very good at it. And so the manufacturing plant for our solar system for UFOs, for spacecraft, is primarily located on Mars. And they make the spacecraft, and then the flight teams from other planets come and fly them up. Most of the UFOs, my understanding is most of the UFOs around planet Earth right now are piloted by Venusians, the people from Venus, our sister planet, which is very evolved compared to us. And some of them are from our Martians, but most of them are Venusians, the pilots. But most of the ships, all the different sizes and shapes for the crews of all the other planets, Saturn and Jupiter, to mention a couple, are manufactured on Mars. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. My co-hosts, we do a little kind of chatting behind the scenes, and if you don't mind, I think they have some very interesting questions and they want to jump in and interact. So if you're open to answering a couple questions for them, would you mind that at all, Dick?
Of course, that'd be great.
Okay. Maureen.
Sure.
I think you have a question.
Yeah. Hi, Dick. Okay. This is Maureen. Well, actually, there was a question from Noah in we have a, interactive chat room, and it's a good question, I think. It's he wants to know, so is location just as important as the symbols?
Oh, more
crop
important.
Circle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. More important. And as a matter of fact, many of them, you will find that probably the majority of them are located in the south of England, and there's a very big reason for that as well, and that is because they're near where the world teacher calls home base, the teacher for the age of Aquarius, whom we'll be talking about in the future. But location, yes, is number one.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen. Okay, so Dick, going on with space, what is Space Brothers? Who are they, the connected to the UFO, correct?
They're human beings from other planets in our solar system. Yeah. See, the solar system is a confederation of planets. It's part of one system. All the planets are part of one system, just like arms and legs and fingers and hands and feet are part of the system called a body, a human body. They're part of our solar system, and that's a confederation of planets, and it has its own little government, our solar system does, and so on. And just like in any other body, when one part of the system lags behind or is hurting, the rest of it rushes in to help. Well, that's exactly what's happening with planet Earth right now. Because of our wars, and because we are seem to be insistent upon destroying our planet with pollution, the people from the human beings we call our space brothers are from other planets are rushing in to help planet Earth because we're holding back the evolution of the solar system at this point. And so they're rushing in to help. For example, one of the purposes of the space brothers at this time is to mop up Earth's pollution. They have huge motherships that are like big vacuum cleaners up there in space, and they've been up there for years. And they are, as much as they can, absorbing and mopping up pollution from our atmosphere that obviously gets into our waterbed and into our lakes and oceans and food source and air and so on. And they're mopping up as much pollution as they can. Pollution is probably the biggest threat to human survival right now. And I'll tell you why. Because it lowers our body's immune system. It lowers our body's immune system. Without the help of the space brothers, our planet would be uninhabitable right now. We couldn't live on it anymore. That's how big of a debt of gratitude we owe them. Pollution is the greatest health threat because of illness and because of weather. Pollution upsets, you know, there are little devas. Deva is a word for angels. There are little angels that make up and uphold the matter and the life force in minerals, in plants, in animals, in everything, including the weather. There are devas that uphold the weather. And when we pollute our atmosphere, those devas get messed up and the weather gets whacked out. And then we have things like hurricanes and tornadoes and typhoons and things and bad earthquakes and all the things that threaten human life. From an illness point of view, the immune system, the two biggest problems, according to Benjamin Krem's master, that pollution are causing are earlier and earlier Alzheimer's is one, and many types of cancers is the second one. And the biggest source of pollution is nuclear pollution. And I'll tell you why. It's the same reason we can't see UFOs. Humanity is basically only aware of three levels of physical matter. We're aware of solid physical, liquid physical, and gaseous physical. Solid, liquid, and gas. Some of the gases we can see, some of the gases we can't see. There are four levels, according to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, there are four levels of physical matter that are above gas. They're called etheric levels of matter. Etheric, like ether, is a very, very high vibration, very fine, fine gas that we can't see. Like that. That's where the word comes from, ether. It comes from these etheric levels. And those etheric levels we can't see or touch, just like we can't usually normally see or touch a gas. And so the spaceships are made of etheric physical matter. So are the crews that fly them. They're in etheric physical matter. So we can't see them. They're up there all the time, but we don't see them unless they purposely, intentionally lower their vibration enough that they come into our view. So they let us see them when they want us to. So they lower their vibration so they become visible to us only when they want us to see them. And then if they want to disappear, they can either fly off real fast or they can just raise their vibration and disappear.
Now, how would they, have they shown themselves to anyone that you're aware of, and does it look like a physical human being?
Well, they do. Most of them don't have hair, is my understanding, first of all. But yes, they resemble human beings very closely. The Martians, Mars is a smaller planet than Earth, but it has more people on it than Earth does. It has about 8 billion people on it, so of necessity, the people are smaller. So Martians are smaller. They're, you know, 4 to 5 feet tall because they have to be to live on their planet. But when we go there with our rover and we look around, we don't see anything because our rover doesn't have etheric vision. Now, some people, very few, have etheric vision, and they can see, for example, the life force around the leaf on a tree. That's etheric, physical matter. Auras are etheric, physical.
Right.
And certain films have been developed that can see the densest, the lowest etheric levels, so we can see auras, for example. But normally, you don't see people's aura unless you have some form of etheric vision. And, well, that's the same thing with the crews and with the ships. So the one thing I wanted to mention was the pollution. That's the problem with nuclear pollution. Our instruments are too crude to measure the etheric matter pollution, the etheric energy that is escaping from all of our nuclear power plants, and it's huge. And that energy is higher in vibration and therefore much more dangerous than the lower energy. And it's that nuclear radiation, the etheric levels that are leaking out all over the place that are primarily causing earlier and earlier Alzheimer's and the many forms of cancer, largely coming from the nuclear pollution. Now, our space brothers are mopping up as much as they can, but it's not their pollution. So they're limited by karmic law as to how much they can clean up, because they didn't cause the mess. But they're doing as much as they can. Yeah.
Right. Okay, go ahead. I don't want to. I guess I have questions and and I'll lose my train of thought. So is somebody calling in the Space Brothers? Like if we, you know, now that you're shining the light on this situation, would it help for people to ask them? Because I heard you mention free will.
Yes. Well, that's a great question, because people have asked Benjamin Krem if he would check with his master on that, and they have been known to respond to human thought. There was a woman in London who asked to see the Space Brothers, and they knew that they wouldn't scare her. They're looking for people who aren't afraid of them. And you may have seen this in the news. It was, I don't know, a few months ago. And she was outside her door in London, and 12 UFOs came one at a time, single file, like a parade, down her street. And everybody was coming out of their cars, coming out of their houses, all staring at these 12 UFOs, these spacecraft, going right straight down the street. And then when they were visible for, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes, and then they disappeared. But everybody came out and saw them. They respond. One woman was looking into the sky. I know this woman. She was looking into the sky, and she said, "If you are a spacecraft, please let me know." And what happened was all of a sudden another light appeared right beside it.
Mm.
And then another one beside it. Now there were three just sitting there. And then another one beside it. And then there were four. And they looked like four planets at night. But they weren't. They were four spacecraft that were lit up. And then they zoomed off into a formation. They split off in a formation. So, yes, they're known to respond to human thought. And if people would ask them to please help us clean up, continue cleaning up our pollution, and thank them for it, they would be very aware that we are doing that. These are very, very evolved people. If we talked to them and met them face-to-face, we would think they were gods.
Wow.
That's how advanced they are. Yeah. Venus is in its last round. Every planet has 7 rounds, and a round is millions of years. Earth is in the middle of its 4th round. Venus is in its 7th round, its last round before it becomes a sacred planet. So these people are very evolved. Yes, they've been known to respond to human thought. You have to be patient. You know, if you don't just say, "Can I see a UFO?" and then 45 seconds later walk away because it didn't happen. No. And you might have to ask 2 or 3 times so they know you're serious, you know, or whatever. But yes, definitely they've been known to respond to human thought. Great question.
Wow. I have another question. One of my co-hosts, Alora, has a question. So, Alora, so jump right in.
Yeah. Actually, I have a couple. One is, I know you mentioned that this information comes from Benjamin, correct? I have some of Alice Bailey's books, so that's really incredible. So I wanted to ask you, how does he receive the information? Is it directly? Is it through channeling? I was just curious how he actually receives the information.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Alice Bailey, as you know, received the information on a screen in front of her eyes. It was as if a screen was in front of her eyes, and that's how she wrote the books. Her master that she was in touch with put the words on like a screen in front of her, and she wrote those, what she saw. Benjamin Krem's information is telepathic. He was trained by his master to receive telepathic communication. And so it's telepathy. It's mental to mental. And that's higher than channeling. Channeling is an astral level of communication. Astral is emotional. Channeling is primarily an astral communication and is very susceptible to inaccuracy. Whereas telepathy is mental to mental. It's the next step up. You know, humanity is made up of four aspects. Almost all religions and all philosophies agree on this. Physical, going up in order of evolution, physical aspects, emotional or astral aspects, mental aspects, and spiritual aspects. And those are the four aspects of humanity and the order in which humanity is evolving. We're now moving from emotional, because most of humanity makes our decisions based on feelings. Mm-hmm. And then feelings change, and we go, oh, how am I going to fix that, you know, to living our lives based on mental and spiritual guidance, you know. And so that's where telepathy is at the mental, a very high mental level, very, very accurate. I mean, to a period, the difference between a period and a comma, Benjamin Krem can discern.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I guess I have one more question.
Sure.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And the other is... I know you mentioned that the masters will give us the free energy or the light energy once we no longer have war or abuse the technology that we would receive. Have these masters talked about when they believe that will actually happen?
Well, like I said, they say soon, but I mean, they meet every 250 years.
Their idea of soon may be different from ours.
Whether they need to or not, you know. So what is soon to them? Well, that's why I said to Jackie, I said, my guess is within 100 years or so.
Okay, maybe that is soon.
Maybe 50 if we respond quickly. Because the world teacher is expected to come forward. He's here. He's been here since 1977. He's been living outside London. He's expected to come forward to all humanity on television very soon in a big press conference, what he calls his Day of Declaration, when he will let everybody know who he is and that he's here.
That he has been passing on those teachings to others who are already going out there, so to speak, to spread the word. I guess somebody such as Benjamin, for example. Are there other quote-unquote Benjamins out there as well, bringing forth this information?
Question. Well, there are, you know, advanced, I mean, humanity is at all different levels of evolution. All of us are at different levels, and that's how come we're all different from one another and so on. And those who have a higher understanding of life and of our purposes here and so on, Benjamin Krem makes no claim to any spirituality or any level of evolution or anything. Let me make that clear. And he receives no money for all his lectures at all.
Wow.
But for people who are at those higher levels, the Gandhis, the Martin Luther Kings, the John F. Kennedys, the Abraham Lincolns, the Saint Germains, those people, John the Baptist and John the Beloved and Peter and Saint Paul and Ringo, no, not Ringo, and those, you know, they have the information and they're doing with it what they're supposed to do with it. Some are supposed to teach, and others are supposed to do other things. For example, one of the biggest things that's going to happen quickly once the world teacher comes forward, one of his first priorities is to make sure that all of humanity is fed. Because as we're speaking right now, about every 7.5 seconds, someone dies of starvation or a starvation-related illness in a world with a 12% excess of food. We have enough food for 400,000 calories per person, and a person only needs 2,000. But it's not getting distributed. There are people who are aware of this and already have the plans for distribution laid out. They're just not presenting them yet because humanity isn't ready for it yet. And so, yes, there are those people. There are special people who are doing all kinds of work behind the scenes. There aren't many who are teaching it. There were supposed to be 5 Benjamin Krems. There was a person in Tokyo who was supposed to be doing it. There was a person in New York who was supposed to be doing it, and 3 and 2 others besides Benjamin Krem in London. And for varying reasons, they declined to educate the world about the changes that are coming with our new cosmic cycle, the Age of Aquarius, and all that's going to change with that. It's huge, huge. It's a great time to be alive, because we're right in the middle of going beyond Pisces going out and Aquarius coming in. You know, that's not astrology from the newspapers that's put in there for entertainment. I'm talking about the movement of the heavenly bodies. It's astronomy. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Excuse me, Dick, we're going to, on that note, please hold that thought. We need to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to jump right into this Age of Aquarius. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Psychic Access Talk Radio, and with our guest, Dick Larson, and this is Jackie Hahn. So let's take where we left off, Dick. So you were mentioning moving now into the Age of Aquarius.
Yes. Yes, Jackie. We, for the last 2,000 years, we have been in the Age of Pisces, and we're now moving into the Age of Aquarius, and I'd like to say how that happens. The Earth, our solar system, and our planet move such that we come into alignment with each of the 12 major constellations of what we call the zodiac. Our planet comes into direct alignment with each one of those 12 in turn, and it's in alignment with each one for about 2,000, 2,350 years, somewhere in there. They're not evenly spaced apart. And when we are in alignment with that constellation, we receive its energies. Everything has energy. Everything is giving off energy. We know that everything is vibrating. Everything is moving. Even in a concrete floor, we know electrons are spinning around the nucleus of atoms. So everything is energy. Well, these huge, great constellations have tremendous energy, and we receive the energy from that constellation, and that helps Earth with its evolution. And for the last 2,000 years, we have been in alignment with and receiving the energies of Pisces. And the two primary energies of Pisces are individuality. Man has come out of the herd over the last 2,000 years, the me generation, and so on, and dedication to an ideal. And it was dedication to an ideal that won World War II, the ideal of freedom. We rallied behind that ideal, and we defeated Hitler, who was the Antichrist for our time. And I'll talk more about that if you'd like me to in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two primary energies of Pisces. Well, since 1725, the energies of Pisces have been waning, and the energies of Aquarius since 1775 have been waxing in. And we are now about middle, just about in the middle, where half of Pisces is gone and half of Aquarius is in. And when you get into the middle where the energies are crossing each other, chaos develops. And you can see that in our planet right now and in life on planet Earth. There's all kinds of chaos. Nothing is working. The healthcare system isn't working. The political system isn't working. The governments aren't working. The educational system isn't working. The feeding people isn't. Nothing is working. You know why? It was all built with Piscean energy. And Piscean energy is being withdrawn. So they can't do anything but collapse. All those structures that have been built over the last 2,000 years with Piscean energy are collapsing. And now they have to be recreated with the energy of Aquarius. And the two primary energies of Aquarius are synthesis, things working together to create a greater whole, and cooperation. And you'll see a lot more work done in groups. As a matter of fact, Benjamin Krem's master has said that the office of President of the United States will become a panel of wise people. It won't be one person anymore. Mm. He also said that if Jimmy Carter lives long enough, he'll be on that panel.
Isn't
that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. We're actually receiving new energies, and all the old energies are being withdrawn, and everything that was built with them is collapsing. We try to throw money at it and fix it and make it work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. The stock market is never going to come back to what it was. The education system is not going to be fixed the way it is now, nor is the healthcare system. They need to be recreated, and the time is coming for that. Well, a very important thing happens at the dawn of a new age. We receive a teacher for that age who brings the teachings for that age. The teacher who inaugurated the age of Pisces was the great teacher Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago and brought the teaching of love with him. And now we're beginning the age of Aquarius. It's time for another teacher, the teacher for the age of Aquarius. And as I said, he's here now. He came down out of the Himalayas and made his own body, and he's called the World Teacher. He made his own body. It's 6'3". It's indestructible. He never eats or sleeps. I mean, he can eat as a social politeness, but he doesn't need to. He never eats or sleeps. He came down out of the Himalayas into Pakistan and got his body used to the smog and the, you know, all the horrible stuff that isn't in the Himalayas. And then he flew by jet airplane into London to fulfill the prophecy that he would come out of the clouds, and the biblical prophecy. And he flew there on July 19th, 1977. 777. You know, 7 is a very spiritual number.
Right.
777, just 777, July 77. And the 1 and the 9 represent, in the decimal system, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega.
Wow.
There are no accidents.
No, absolutely.
He flew into London and is waiting for the right time to step forward to address humanity.
So that's amazing. So when you say that we're halfway, we're crossing between the two ages, when will we actually be fully into the Aquarian age?
Well, we'll be fully into the Aquarian age in about 300 years.
But we're feeling that energy now, that
we can create new systems now, because there's enough Aquarian energy available to do just about anything we want to do in that respect. So we don't have to wait.
So what would be some of those things that we could do?
We could reorganize the healthcare system, completely redo it from scratch. We could figure out a distribution system so that everybody on the planet gets fed. The World Teacher's first four priorities are this, very practical stuff. Number one, health care for everyone as a right, free health care. Number two, food so that no one starves. Number three, shelter, housing for everyone. And number four, an education as a human right, along the lines of your interest. Not an education for a profession, an education along the lines of your interest as a human right. Those are his first four priorities. So he's going to start very basic. He does not come as a religious teacher. He says, I come for religious people, and I come for people who aren't religious. I come for everyone. I come as a teacher. I'm not here to start a new religion or any of that stuff. I'm here as a teacher to deal with humanity's basic needs. He can't wave a magic wand and make everything right. We have to do the work. But he can give us suggestions, and then we have free will. It's up to us whether we follow his suggestions or not. He says yeah. We will. He says we will.
I was going to say, you know, free will is a wonderful gift, but, you know, there's so much available out there for us. And the key is, what do we do with all that? You know, but you know what you're saying with everything that's going on with the planet, do you feel that we're going to be really nudged? You know, the people that are, you know, very open, such as us, you know, we're going to just take this and run with it. But let's say the people who aren't as evolved, what do you anticipate things will be like for them because of the changes that we're going through?
He said, I think it'll be wonderful. I think it'll be wonderful. There will be sacrifices to be made. In other words, we will have everything we need, but not everything we want. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and it'll be comfortable. It won't be like, you know, just basic necessity stuff. I mean, people will be comfortable. But sharing is the key. He said countries need to share their excesses. The United States has excesses in certain commodities, and there are other countries that have shortages of those, but they have excesses in things the United States needs. And he says, what we need to do is start sharing and trading that way. He calls it barter. There will be mm-hmm. a huge barter system in the world. And barter will, in large part, replace money. Remember, I said everything's going to change, and that includes the financial system. So, so people will have everything they need. And the people who there are people who will resist this, and those are the people who have power to lose and wealth to lose. Some of the high church people, some of the high politicians, some of the high rulers in different countries, and then the wealthy folks. Some of them are going to be unhappy, but those of us middle and down are going to be much happier. Much happier, because our needs are going to be met. Our right. government is going to actually represent us. We're all going to have food to eat. We're all going to have a place to live. We're all going to have an education. And we're not going to have to do menial jobs anymore. He said the day is coming soon when people every day will be a new adventure. You won't have to sit and drill rivets into the same car every day, all day long. You won't have to do that anymore to be able to live. I mean, it's going to get way better, way better.
And this is really taking place as we speak. All this is starting now.
Well, it is, but when he comes forward, it's going to happen fast. May I tell you what's going to happen when he comes forward?
Oh, sorry, Dick. I guess what I'm asking is everything that you're sharing and saying that's going to be happening, the so-called, you know, the kind of behind-the-scenes part of it is happening now. These things are happening now.
Oh, my gosh, yes, definitely. There's all kinds of plans that have been made for the changes that need to happen, but they haven't been brought forth yet because humanity is not open to them yet. So, oh, yes, there's all kinds of things going on. The energy is transforming humanity. Absolutely.
Is what the Earth and, you know, the chaos that you were talking about earlier going on, do you foresee more of those kind of events globally going on with us? Are there more of those kind of things changing with the Earth still?
But not much longer. Maybe a few years at the most.
Okay. And that's all part of the process, obviously.
Within the next 3 to 4 years, he's going to be coming forward and having his day of declaration. And then things are going to be so different. It'll be remarkable. People will be walking on tiptoe after he talks to the world.
I mean, what does that mean?
Well, here's what's going to happen. He's interviewing right now on U.S. networks. He's had 24 interviews on a U.S. On one or more U.S. networks. I haven't seen one of them yet. Okay. But he's had 24 interviews, and he's going to become, as an ordinary man, he doesn't say, I'm the world teacher, my name is Maitreya. His personal name is Maitreya. He comes to fulfill all the world's religious prophecies, by the way. You know, the Hindus are expecting Krishna to return. The Buddhists are looking for the next Buddha, Maitreya Buddha. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. The Christians are looking for the Christ, and so on. The Muslims are looking for the Imam Mahdi, the Messiah. He comes to fulfill all of those prophecies, and one person can do it now. He doesn't come alone. Many of the other masters are coming with him to help in different areas of work. They each have their departments of humanity that they will be assigned to. But he's going to do interviews here on the BBC, the Japanese networks, and people are going to say, who is this guy? He seems like he knows a lot. Who are you? Who are you? And finally, when he doesn't have to infringe humanity's free will, he will come forward, and all the television will be linked up by, and radio will be linked up by satellite. That's what the satellites are up there for. They're not there for World Cup soccer. And he will be on TV and radio at the same time on the Day of Declaration. And I'll tell you three ways that you'll know it's him.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yes, I'm glad. I'm happy to do it. First of all, you'll see his face on TV, but his lips won't move. You'll hear his words in your head telepathically in whatever your native language is. People will be working out in the fields. They won't even have a radio near them. If they're over the age of 14 and have like a 1% belief that this could happen, they will hear his words in their head. All around the world. But you'll see him on TV, and you'll hear his words in your head. You'll be looking at the person, are you hearing what I'm hearing? Because his lips aren't moving. That's one. Number two, while he is speaking for 25, 45, 50 minutes, however long, we will feel the love of God in our heart like we have never felt it before. There'll be a lot of people crying, and I'll probably be one of them. Trust the love in your heart. The Antichrist can't do that for people who are afraid of the Antichrist. And the third way you'll know it's him is that when his interview is done, when he's done speaking, it will be broadcast around the world that while he was speaking, there were hundreds of thousands of miraculous healings that occurred while he was speaking. And in those three ways, you will know that this is the world teacher come to help us if we will follow his suggestions. And he says, while he's speaking, he said, it will be as if I embrace humanity physically. That's what it'll feel like. He said, people will walk on tiptoe to not upset the calm when I'm done speaking.
Wow, I got chills just listening to you say that. Oh, my God, that is amazing. I sure hope it happens before I leave Earth because I want to be a part of that.
Oh, this is going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Wow.
Now, hasn't said that. That's just me talking. But, I mean, the time is very, very, very close. And then things are going to happen pretty fast after that.
It is, and I don't know if this is linked to this, you know, big 2012 thing, but what is your take on that? Is that somehow related to what you're sharing here?
Well, I think it is, but I'll tell you, it's not going to be the end of the world. We're in the middle of our fourth round. We've got millions of years left on this planet. You know, St. John's Book of Revelation writes about three events. The first event was the beast 666, who was Nero. Nero was the beast 666. He was a terrible, evil man. He destroyed the Roman Empire single-handedly. Nero fiddled while Rome burned, you know that saying? Persecuted the Christians. In any good Bible that has a footnote, a study Bible, it will say, numerology was big back then, it will say 666 is the total of the numbers represented in the name Caesar Nero. He was the beast 666. That was one part of St. John's Book of Revelation. It's a very hard book to understand. The middle part of it is what is happening now, the cataclysm of the ages changing and all the changes that are happening and the problems and the earthquakes and the floods and the hurricanes and all that stuff that's going on now that's so wild. That's
right.
What this part is about. Then the end of it is the end of planet Earth, the end of the world, and that's millions of years away, so we don't have to worry about that. Hitler was the Antichrist for our time. It's released through a person. It is not a person. It's an energy released through a person. It was released through Hitler. If you think about it, Hitler did everything the Antichrist was supposed to do. He was incredibly evil, killed millions and millions of people, and fooled people for years and years into thinking he was going to lead them into this perfect world. He was defeated by the energy of Pisces, the dedication to an ideal, the ideal of freedom.
Right.
The United States has lots of freedom, but we don't have any justice. So the world teacher is going to talk about justice, just trying to go to court without any money and see how much justice you get. You know, so this is both. We need freedom. Yeah, we need freedom and justice. And he's going to talk about sharing, justice, peace, freedom, brotherhood. Those are things he's going to talk about. He's going to give us a brief history of the world. It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be so wonderful. And then we need to get to work.
Dick, we have somebody who has a question. So Laura has been in the chat room, and we have a lot of activity. So if you don't mind, can she ask you a question?
Good.
Go ahead, Laura.
Hi. Yes, real quick. Somebody's asking if this world teacher can be heard in our heads and people even hear him out in the fields, why bother being on TV or radio? What's the point with that?
Well, because TV or radio is the key to communicating with humanity, and people want to see now. We're all used to TV. We want to see. So people will see his face. That's how all eyes will see him, is through television. He's going to fulfill the prophecies of every major religion, including Christianity. And all eyes will see and all ears will hear, and that will happen through television worldwide and through radio and telepathically.
Wonderful. Okay. Dick, I the time went so fast, and I dread saying say goodbye and thank you, but this concludes our show here. Any last words of wisdom you can share really quick with everybody?
Well, people might say, if I know this, what can I do? And I'd like to offer two things that they can do. Number one, they can tell others about this at whatever level it makes sense to them, maybe a little 20%, you know, thought that this might be true. Hey, I heard this guy talking, you know, might be a teacher coming. Wouldn't that be nice? Tell others about it. Get the word out, because he can't come forward until we expect him to.
Mm.
And the second thing people can do is a new meditation started in the 1970s by Benjamin Krem called Transmission Meditation. It's a group meditation. It's free of charge. There are groups around the world doing it. We're going to be doing it for the next 2,000 years. And they can go to the website to find out about it. It's www.transmissionmeditation.org. Those are two things people can do about it. Talk about it and join a transmission group.
Well, wonderful. Dick, what a wonderful show, and I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, we have a huge amount of respect for your knowledge and your work, and I really do speak on behalf of everybody here. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us.
Jackie, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Really
thank you, Dick.
It.
Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I'm excited, I have to say. This is an amazing guy with a huge amount of knowledge. What do you guys think?
Fascinating.
He was very interesting, very fascinating. But I think what I would say is, for me, healthy skepticism is a good thing because of the notion of one world teacher. You know, if one person comes forward, I think you have to check into yourself to decide if it rings true or not, whatever you receive, you know, in terms of if this event should happen. Because there are a lot of people who will proclaim themselves as world teachers, you know, like Hitler did or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah, but I don't think he's going to say he's a world teacher. See, that's what Dick was alluding to. He's not going to come up and say, "Hi, I'm a world teacher." I think what he's saying, it's going to come forth as a whole different way. Because you know what? Then I would imagine people would be like, "Oh, this guy's full of crap," you know? So
right.
I think the way it'll show up will really be what we don't expect. That's just my thing.
I just feel that whenever you get something like that, you always check in with yourself to really feel if it's right.
He said that in the beginning, which I admire. You know, he said, and really he doesn't, you know, he's keeping an open mind, but really he doesn't even believe, you know, what it,
he's very dedicated, and I admire that. Yeah. And he did absolutely. He said, don't believe, just, you know, whatever rings true to you basically is what he's saying. That's and I think healthy skepticism is a good thing. And that's all I'm saying. Rather than just say, "Oh, go along with that," just always have that, and that will be your true guide. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just my feeling. That's just my personal feeling. But that doesn't mean that what he's saying isn't true either.
Exactly. Yeah, it's always nice to hear, like, what he's learned and who he's worked with, you know, with Benjamin Krem and the telepathic receiving information. I thought that was pretty amazing how we, you know, described how that was a step above channeling. So there was just so much. I know I walked away with this evening. I think it was
he was fascinating, and there's a lot that he touched on that is absolutely true. And I really, really listened to what he had to say in terms of the changes that are needed that he says will be coming. But what I was listening to is not only that message, but how we can resolve all that's happening, because I know we're all going through, or a lot of us are going through, how can we change this? How can we change that? And we've been trained in certain areas that we may not be working in yet because of the changes needed in those areas. Right. And I've actually had personal discussions with friends who've said the same thing, that overall, when it comes to the end and we have our life experiences as we have, those are going to be put to good use as these changes start coming in. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I know we're going to get into our bantering here, and I think I jumped a little ahead of time, but let me just go through and make... I'm so excited. I'm sorry. Let me just go through and make some announcements, and we will go to the bantering here. But anyway, Dick Larson was our guest. You can go to www.share-international.org to find out about him and his teachings, and as well, we'll have him on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. All right, let me just go on. I'm going to make a few announcements here. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in getting a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. So I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity. So my reputation is safe. And you can find out all about our co-hosts here on the Psychic View, also on Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us there. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic View. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word, and we appreciate it. The call-in number, we're going to be doing readings in a little bit. Let me just put that out there. 724-444-4851. You will be placed on hold, so I would just wait until we give you the cue. And we do take callers on the lines first, and then if we have time, we will go into the chat room. So, with that said, I'm going to start with Maureen. You've been so quiet this evening. So, Maureen.
Don't do it to me. Yes, I am. That was a great interview you did, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, what started out as crop circles really went above and beyond, because that was just the little tip of the iceberg to what, you know, he's passionate about sharing. So is there anything you would like to add as well?
Well, you know, it's interesting because crop circles to me, I've never been, like I've said it before, it's not like, that's why I like your guess. I don't believe, I just know what I know, but I'm open to things. But I've never really had any experience with the crop circles except what I've read and so on. So it's not like I have a lot of because I don't know much about them except for what I've read, which is not an experience, but except for reading is, I guess. But you know, this is my view, because I've read so much about this lately. First of all, I think they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. I mean, the you know, it's just it's beautiful. Now, I do feel that the ancient ones around Stonehenge and stuff, there's something to be said about that. I am also very aware that I do feel that maybe there's been a lot of artificially made, corporations have used them in advertising, or they've done it. And it's in 2020 News and ABC News. There's been a lot of documentation of that. But it's almost like that we do have a desire to believe in something more deeper. There is definitely something there.
Yeah.
So I'll go into that more later too. But it does. So I'm really open to my view of it. I don't know what it is, but.
But you're open.
Yeah, right. I'm open, and I think there some of those things. Some of the created art. It's art. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your point of view. And there's no right or wrong here. You know, it's just we're just having our discussion, so it's all good. And Steve, have you ever seen any crop circles? You're from Great Britain. Have you ever seen any? Ooh. Steve,
is he gone? I have seen a lot, actually. In the UK, you do see a lot of them. And, you know, the UK is a much smaller country than the States, obviously. And when you're driving around in the UK, you do see crop circles in the fields near to the roads. I lived in Hampshire for about 3 years. And driving around in Hampshire, you regularly see crop circles. It's quite a common occurrence. And it's quite surreal, to be honest, because you drive around and you just get so used to seeing them that you stop thinking about it.
So it's just something every day, sort of.
If you drive around enough, then you can find them. I've seen a number, particularly in Hampshire, Berkshire, Wiltshire, in the southeast of England, I've seen a lot.
Wow.
England's noted for, I'm sorry to interrupt, England, I know, has been really noted for having, they've been really, because there's been like 78, 93 all over, more than the States, I know that. Sorry, I had to interject there, because that's interesting.
No, that's okay. I wanted to ask, because when Dick was talking earlier about people that have actually walked through the crop circles and picking up the energy from that. I was wondering if you had that experience as well. Did you actually walk into the crop circle, or you just drove by?
I just used to see them driving by, so I haven't actually stood in one. I can't say that I've felt the energy from standing in a crop circle, but I know that there were lots of programs on television years ago about whether or not crop circles were for real. And there was analysis done on some of the crops to actually see if they were for real or whether mm-hmm. they were man-made. And there is evidence, or there has been evidence, about the crops changing genetically, and proof that there's some kind of change in the makeup of the crop, proving those circles couldn't have been made by humans. And when your guest was talking earlier on, I looked quickly on the internet, because he mentioned that there were sightings quite recently in London, and mm-hmm. there is actually a video, two videos in fact, of UFOs flying over London in 2010.
Wow.
It's absolutely fascinating. And there's so much information at the moment in the States about UFOs and aliens. There was a press release recently about 3, maybe 4 months ago, a press release of a number of senior people from the military, people that had retired from the military, who actually went on record on television stating that they and many other people have seen UFOs near particularly military installations and locations where we store nuclear weapons. Mm. And that was on CNN and Fox. I think it was on Fox News as well.
Wow.
It was quite mainstream. And I honestly feel that because of the amount of information being pushed into the media about UFOs and aliens, it feels to me almost as though we're being prepared.
Right.
It really does.
But not no end of the world nonsense. Do you think that people are going to think that? I mean, that's not what you're saying, is it? Being prepared to, like, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I guess I'm wondering.
That extraterrestrials are coming? Is that what you mean?
Well, I feel that they've been here for a long time.
Yes.
You know, I remember when we had Anaya Barrera on the show, he was saying that the Mayan elders and the Mayan people state that UFOs have been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
There is evidence that some of the ancient monuments, so the pyramids and different monuments and sites, could not have been constructed by humans. There's a huge amount of evidence, and there's a lot of evidence about the Sumeria, Anunnaki. There's just so much evidence out there that we are not alone, and this is not new. So I don't feel there's any need to. I don't feel personally panicked by it. I don't feel that we need to panic, because they've been around for a very, very long time, and I'm not aware of them causing us any particular harm at this stage. So I don't feel worried about it, but I do feel that there's an increasing awareness that there really is something going on.
And, you know, more recently, mainstream media just came out with the notion that we are not alone. Remember that more recently? The news, what was it, the military officials that stepped forward?
Yes.
To say, what was it, that they were keeping us from, it had to do with our nuclear weapons.
Yeah, one of them said, Alora, thank goodness somebody's monitoring what we're doing with these nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Because we're really out of control. And I often wonder, you know, energetically and spiritually, what damage we cause elsewhere. So,
yes.
For example, if we're making big mistakes here on Earth, could it be that mm-hmm. those mistakes have implications elsewhere in the solar system or the universe?
Yes.
I really don't think we know what we're doing a lot of the time. And I was really drawn to our guest's comments about making sure that everybody has enough to eat and healthcare. It made me stop for a moment and think to myself, you know, if aliens did if aliens or another life form did present themselves to us, would we, in an interaction, would we feel proud of what we're doing? Would we feel proud of the world that we're creating? Would we feel proud having a conversation about the fact that so many of us or so many people in our world are dying of hunger? Would we feel proud about what we describe? I don't think that we would. It just causes me to have all kinds of different thoughts. We live in a very interesting time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we need to take a quick little commercial break for People's TV Network, and then we will be back.
Every Tuesday night, check out Miami Town Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miami Town Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miami Town Ghost Tours. Miami Town Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at PTN Radio.
Okay, welcome back to the show, and we're just going to continue with our conversation. Steve, did you have anything else to add before we went on commercial break?
I have, but I'm out of breath for the moment, so I don't want to monopolize the discussion.
Oh, not
I'm
a problem.
I'm interested in this subject. It's a very, very exciting topic.
Yeah, it really is, and the hour just flew by, and I would have loved to have talked to him more and just to hear him speak, you know, the way he communicates that information. And so much came through that I took away. It was pretty amazing. So,
absolutely.
So thank you for that. Allure. Has sound, here's an interesting question for you. Has sound been associated with crop circles that you're aware of?
Yes, in my research, I found that it has been. And to quote an article regarding this very thing, I'm going to quote, "Over the years, a number of humming, trilling, and other unexplained sounds have been heard in the vicinity of crop circles. One of the earliest experiences of this kind was documented by Arthur Shuttlewood in the magazine Now, and later reprinted in Terence Meaden's Journal of Meteorology, in which a number of people witnessed the formation of a circle as it appeared in long grass near Star Hill in West Wiltshire," that's in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
"And to quote from their experience, they say, quote, suddenly the grass began to sway before our eyes and laid itself flat in a clockwise spiral, just like the opening of a lady's fan. A perfect circle was completed in less than half a minute, all the time accompanied by a high-pitched humming sound. It was still there the next day," unquote. And one of the best documented examples of sound in relation to crop circles was reported by Colin Andrews and consisted of a number of short bursts of oscillating tones or trilling noises recorded on audio tape. Now, this was recorded during what was known as Operation White Crow, which took place in Hampshire, that's again in the UK, during the summer of 1989. So if you're interested in this sort of thing, you can find more information at cropcircleresearch.com. And I thought that was very interesting because I really wasn't aware of that.
So, no, I wasn't either. And so the sound stayed there after it was formed for a little while. Is that what I understand from the article?
That's what it sounds like that they're saying. It would seem to me that that's what they're saying, that the circle, the actual crop circle was complete in less than half a minute, and the entire time there's a high-pitched humming sound that went with it, and it was still there the next day.
Well, you know, it was interesting when, I don't know if you picked this up when Dick was talking, but he was saying how there was, I don't know if it was the energy or the light, there was something had stayed with it as well, like the, I don't know if it was illuminated or something, but there was light around it or that people could visually see it, and then it disappeared and then the crop circle was left. Unless I'm making that up, but I do remember hearing something like that.
Yeah, he did. And if you think about it, light and sound are all frequency.
That's
and so
right.
If you walk in there, and I know sometimes I'll hear things that other people don't hear. Like, what is clairaudience, really? It's where you hear sounds more etherically, you know, or etheric sounds, I should say, where you're really sensitive and you can see those things, just like people are clairvoyant and they can see etherically. You know, not everybody can do that, or not everybody has practiced or developed themselves to do that. But yeah, I think sound is a healing modality. I think sound is a frequency that we're very prone to, and if you're really attuned to it, more than likely, because it involves a frequency in terms, like he said, light in terms of creating these circles, that it would make sense that it's accompanied by sound.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Oh, well, that's an awesome article, and thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
We're going to be getting to the caller soon, but Maureen, I know you chatted a little bit before about crop circles, but I wanted to make sure there wasn't anything else that you wanted to share with everybody before we move on.
Yeah. Well, you know, yes, I would just like,
okay.
I was, like I said, I researched, because this is pretty new stuff to me, but I did find that there's some other explanations some people come up with, whether animal activity, which we all have heard about that, and the paranormal, which we all kind of know about that, but this weather thing, there was something, the weather in 1980, there was a publication by an amateur scientist, and And it went. There was a bad storm in the Western Survey. They surveyed in the neighbor's farm and so on. What happened was these patches of forming crop circles. So they started saying that maybe it had something to do with the rain. But the one interesting thing I did find about the animal activity, just recently, in 2009, BBC News reported that Laura, now this is on Australia, Laura Gideons, the Attorney General for the island state of Tasmania devil, stated that the Australian wallabies, just so cute, had been found creating crop circles in fields of poppies after consuming some of the opium-laden crop and running in circles. So I just wanted to add to that, you know, there you have it.
Well, on that note, I love it. That is very good. That is cute.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Maureen. That is pretty funny, actually. So I just want to make sure that, you know, Steve, Alora, Maureen, if there's anything else that you did not want to add, we were going to, get onto the readings. We have a couple callers, so I just wanted to open the floor one last time.
No, good? Thank you. Yep.
Okay, good.
Happy to go ahead.
All righty. Okay, so now we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls, and you can either call in, ask your question in the chat room. We do take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The number again, 724-444-4851. And please note that no one will answer your call. When it comes in, you'll be placed on hold. Relax and just listen to the show, and you will be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. I just ask you kindly to please be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your area of interest. Don't be alarmed if there's a little silent pause. We all work differently, and we will bring forth the information we receive as soon as we get it. Okay? And right now we have a couple callers. We have Pennsylvania, Michigan, and New York. And we're going to start with Pennsylvania. Hi, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
I hope.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm not
Hi,
sure.
Well, what is your name, please?
My name is Judy.
Hi, Judy. What is your question this evening?
Does it have to be regarding any specific topic, or can I just pick and choose how I want?
Whatever you want. This is free reading time. So if you have something in your life that you want to seek guidance on or insight into, just fire away.
Yes. I've been psychic all my life, and I'm a Reiki master, and I've recently been able to be in touch with people from the other side. And currently my job is in IT, but it seems like I'm getting pushed by the universe or God to move in some other place, but I'm not sure whether I should move physically, change my job, stick with what I have. I'm just wondering if you can pick up on anything. I'm not originally from where I'm located right now. I was originally from around Philadelphia.
Okay. So you want some clarification as next steps for your career or understanding what you're being guided to do?
Right, because I was IT for 8 years in a department in a university, and I did all kinds of stuff, web editing, fixed computers, and did everything. And now, because of reorganization of the college, they've moved me into a position, and I hardly have anything to do.
Okay.
Okay, I got something. This is Maureen. I do have something that I can... I'll just go for it. Hi, Judy. I believe Judy. Hi, this is Maureen. And, you know, my feelings are anything that you would do, I feel female energy is very positive around you. And it looks like you would be doing together around a home like outside. It's lovely. I don't know if it's like a homey feeling. And I do feel that staying out of relationships is, I mean, emotionally attached, you know what I mean, is your best bet to not, so you can stay focused on what you're which I do see you being very happy, heading in the direction you are. Really, mostly in the August month, you look like you're really almost like you're on a power horse and you're going. But I do see another female with you involved in something very positive and working closer in a home, and there's a lot of plants and a lot of greens and flowers. It's really nice. But relationship-wise with any individual, like partnership, is not something that needs maybe not to be getting in the way, I guess. And I'm saying that in the nicest intentions, okay? But there you have it. there you have it.
That makes sense, because I've put relationship, any serious relationships on hold, because actually a friend of mine, my best friend, passed away in July of 2009, and I've been sort of devastated by that, but not letting it hold me back. I figure I'll focus more on my life and what I want to do with myself.
Right.
My kids are grown, live with me anymore, so I can make any choice I want. I can move anywhere.
That's great.
And,
You have lots of, you're doing, I'm not giving you anything you don't know. And I'm glad to hear that you made a choice about putting those relationships on the back burner, but I do see you heading towards really successfully and really passionately being happy doing what you're going to be doing. It's like, you're going to thrive very, very nicely.
You know what field I'll be working with? Just the gardens and around the home, right? Like,
I see you working outside. It doesn't mean maybe you are able just to hang out and do your work, your best thinking. But I see another woman around you. Female energy is very positive. It's like if you've been talking to anybody about, you know, people getting, ideas, you know, just, you know, meeting of minds when you start talking to somebody. It's another woman I see around you. You two will do. Come up with some interesting things. I see you working well together outside. I don't know if you'll be actually doing anything for that. Wow, sorry. It's just a lovely place for the creative energies to come out. It's a real healing feeling, too.
Okay, that sounds great. Because right now I live on 10
miles. I don't know. Anything you want, you know what? I feel you're going to attain. I do. Definitely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Did I hang up now? Or? I've never talked on Judy.
Well, actually, don't go just yet. This is Steve. I've got some insight for you as well. My guides are saying to me that you've always been very psychic. They're saying to me that the change that's occurred is that you've realized that you're no longer satisfied by your mainstream work, and that you really want to do what's very meaningful to you, which is helping people. That my guides are saying as well that the main thing that's been holding you back is considerations of money. But if you plan the first 12 months well and prepare for the first 12 months, you'll be well taken care of.
Okay. Right now money is a factor because...
Can you hear me?
My oldest sister is bipolar, and she kind of set me back a huge amount.
Jackie, I think we've maybe lost the call.
I'm
okay.
Still here.
Excuse me, Judy. Sorry about that. I think we lost her.
Still here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. You are still there. Just plan it well. The other thing my guides are saying is don't feel that you need to make a decision right now. My guides are advising you to prepare a smooth transition. So start really making plans for the work that you want to do. You are very intuitive and you're very caring towards people. So there should also be consideration of counseling and even psychology for you. But see your current path and the path that you're moving to as a continuation. They go side by side for a number of months, and it's around August, September that you will actually feel that you've put the right plans in place to transition to your new work and let go of the old. But don't feel that you have to separate them right now. The other thing is, in terms of location, my guides are showing me sunshine. They're saying you do well in a warm environment or warm climate, but equally they're saying you don't have to feel that there's only one location in which you would be successful. You really can choose where you would like to be, and the opportunities will be there for you.
Okay, thank you. Last year in July, I went to Brian Weiss Past Life Regression Therapy training for a week, and I was hoping to incorporate that with Reiki and anything else I could with the psychic stuff, so it sounds like it's going to work out.
It will, absolutely, and you do have very good healing healing energy as well. So if you combine healing with readings and counseling, you'll do very well. You won't struggle at all to find work and clients. And you can choose the location that works best for you. The key to it is doing it with joy and moving forward with excitement. And you'll find that everything falls into place. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. It really is. Thank you.
Well, Judy, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the reading.
Have a good night.
Right, you too. Bye.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, we're going to bring New York on the line. Hi, are you with us?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you? What is your name, please?
Great. My name is Christina.
Christina. Okay, Christina, how can we help you this evening?
I'm also calling in regards.
What is your question?
I've graduated from college, and I'm currently a teacher, and my degree is in early childhood, but I've been feeling that I did not make the, you know, correct path. I feel so unfulfilled in this field, so can you let me know about my career path and which is good for me? Like, should I go back to school? What should I focus on? Because I feel like I'm lost, basically.
Okay, can you just give me your date of birth, please?
February 16th, 1982.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to tell you what I'm receiving for you, Christina, is first off, what I'm hearing clearly is that what the decisions you've made so far are not a mistake. If anything, it's allowing you to really start to take a look at other areas that you want to go into, because sometimes we would not have that experience if we didn't go through the things that we went through. So first off, my guides are clearly saying to me, just, you know, let her know there's no mistakes here. Everything is okay. And also the idea that they keep showing me like credentials, you know, feeling that it's mandatory for you to have a degree in order to be successful. Like, I just feel this is something that is something you grew up with and that was very important, and I'm not saying it's not, but what I'm feeling is that there's a lot of internal wisdom that is untapped and is yet to be discovered within you. So in other words, your next steps, personally, from what I'm picking up, is actually quite simple. Is what you need to do is to start to bring more meditation into your life and things that are going to allow you to connect back inside, because I don't feel going back to school and you know, going out there and figuring all that out yet is the first point. What you need to do is kind of start within yourself, really get in touch with those feelings and just ask yourself, you know, what is it that would truly make me happy? What is it that I would have loved to do? Because what happens is I feel that there's a lot of outside influence on you of what is expected of you, but your soul, so to speak, has another story. So by communicating with yourself that way internally, and it's just simply just being present, if you want to, you know, close your eyes and, you know, light a candle or whatever, you know, create a space where you won't be disturbed and just allow yourself to give yourself permission to do that. because it's really important moving forward in your life, because I just feel there's a lot of pressure from people on the outside telling you, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not sure, you know, all that kind of energy's infiltrating you, and now it's like, I have no idea what to do. So disconnect a little bit from the outside world and go inside and find those answers, because they're there.
I have a little something for Christine as well.
Okay.
Christine, I'm going to second what Jackie is saying. The one thing I'll add is absolutely I agree that you do need to do something to calm your nerves, because you're so, I almost feel like there's worry or anxiety over it. And really, what I feel the guides are saying is just, you know, do whatever it takes to be very calm, even if it's running, exercising, meditating, whatever. But I also feel that it's extremely important that that you don't just kind of impulsively say, well, maybe I'll do this or maybe I'll do that. What Spirit is saying is really go inside yourself and say, what in my heart of hearts is my passion? What in my heart of hearts is what I really, really want to do? What would I be happy doing waking up every morning, every day of my life? And that is what Spirit is saying, or that's how I'm being directed to speak to you. So I want to say first, get in touch with what it is would make you happy, not just kind of go out there and jump into, you know, well, should I go to school? Well, should I do this? Or well, should I do that? And just try everything. The other thing I'm getting is pay attention. Pay attention. Spirit is saying you'll be given because you are truly asking. And your intention is really truly to find out. So pay attention to all the signs coming to you. It might be in a commercial, it's something speaks to you. Might be something somebody says, could be a total stranger. You know, somebody says something or whatever, but I'm hearing it's messages being sent to you that will somehow, your attention will catch your attention. So pay attention to those things and then look into them and see, is that something that I would really like? And that's what I'm getting for you. And then things will fall into place once you do that.
Oh, all right. Because currently I'm working with kids. I'm a preschool teacher. And I also got called for a job interview at another school, but I'm not sure if I should continue working in schools, you know, leave the job that I have. So it's been like a battle. You know, I'm trying to decide, should I stay at my current job and go to another school, or should I just switch the whole career? That's basically what's been going through my head.
Right. And Christina, simply just find a way to ask those questions and allow that that kind of inner voice, that little subtle voice that has, you know, that internal wisdom, because I feel that it's trying to get in touch with you, because there is a lot of confusion and you may not even be hearing the guidance you're already getting, but it's there. And I really feel strongly about that. So, but listen, we thank you for calling. And good luck to you, and you're going to do wonderful. Just trust yourself. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Lots of love to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have our next caller from South Dakota. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, good, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
What is your name, please?
I guess Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you. What is your question this evening?
Oh, I guess I'm pretty much along the same lines as everybody else. I'm looking for work and kind of not knowing the lines of what I should be looking into.
Okay, so you're looking for some guidance as far as what would be good for you or next steps for you.
Yeah.
Okay, we will see what our co-host come up with.
You know, I'm getting Michelle. Michelle. Hi, Michelle. You know, my feeling
Hi.
Is this is Maureen. I'm picking up that, you know, you have a lot of people, outside influences that have kind of have your head spinning around about what you should or shouldn't do. And I think that this is a problem here, because I think it's about timing, and there's so much, I'm just getting so much obstacles coming from, and like the fear of poverty, or the fear, there's judgment coming. You're searching for a deeper meaning, and it's a very good, it's actually a very interesting time in your life right now, for this like shift or cycle that you're heading towards. But I do feel it's a little bit confusing, because until you get everybody out of your head, well, it's kind of easier said than done. If you're searching for a deeper meaning, I think that you're going to find it within. You need to take a break, a breather, because I think that this is too many outside energies, like I said before, and it's kind of making you indecisive about what, and I don't think that you are. I think that you're a very balanced person, but with what you want to do, it's a little bit different. People won't understand. So you won't get to, maybe you're fear of not getting the support, but whatever it is, I think it's lovely when people search for a deeper meaning in their life, in their work. I think it's, I'm all for that. And so I feel that the focus, I can't really answer, I guess, your question, what you're going to do, but I think your focus should really be on that. I do feel in the next 10 months, you're going to get, it'll be the perfect timing. Something is going to present itself that you are actually manifesting on as we speak right now. But
Michigan, you're on the line.
Hello.
Let's hope. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, what is your name?
Hi, my name's Renee.
Hi, Renee. What is your question this evening?
I really just kind of want to know, well, anything that they think I need to know, but I have, everybody else is good to ask you about careers, but I'm in school, and so if there's anything that I need to know about what I'm doing school-wise, that'd be good to know that I've chosen the right course, because I feel very strongly that I have, and I'd like to know I'm right. But I'm really more curious about the situation with my brother, and any advice that you could give me on resolving that.
Okay. So your brother's... Oh, sorry, Laura, go ahead.
No, I just didn't hear the last part of that question about her brother. What was the question?
She was wanting some advice about the situation with him. That was all she had said about that.
Okay.
Okay, so we will see what we pick up for you. So that's the more important of the two, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, alrighty. Okay. Oh, sorry.
I can start. One of the things, Renee, I am seeing your worry. There's a lot of worry. But what I am seeing is that in this particular case, and I don't know what the situation is, he is learning a lot about... There's a balance between being protective and allowing somebody to learn how to stand on their own two feet, or to deal or cope with the situation and learn from it. So that's really what I'm getting in this particular instance, that try not to worry. I know that's easier said than done, especially when it's people we love. But just know that this has to do with him moving forward and really standing on his own two feet. I just keep seeing those words, standing on his own two feet, really learning on his own about this situation. And I am seeing him in a positive sort of picture. He's not really sure about certain things, but his intention is in the right place. And I don't see... a negative situation. What I am seeing, though, is that it's really important for you to say your prayers. And so, again, I don't know what the situation is. Say your prayers. Don't forget that, and have faith that those prayers will take hold, that they will be productive. And that is really what you can do for him. And it is truly an active position. It's not as inactive as you might think. That when you say those prayers, they will move forward for him. And that's what I'm getting.
Okay, right.
That's good.
Okay. Go ahead, Renee. Did you have something to say? Because I was going to share my insight as well.
I just thought that was interesting. The importance of saying my prayers, and I tend to, you know, I mean, I think of all that. I'm always thinking, kind of, but I don't always take the time to stop and really articulate and voice my prayers as much as I should.
Well, that's yeah. Good. Oh, sorry, Lurkin.
No, I was just going to say it's good that you recognize that, because the mental thought really is going to do your worry, because you're worried. So that's not a very good, you don't want to create that more for yourself or for him. But if you say prayers, which always brings out the higher intention and a better result, what they're saying is that will actually, that is a very real thing. And it's a real energy that will help him. It will really truly help kind of hold him. In a good, offer him a good foundation. And it is more active than you may think. So if you do that, that will actually be a true help for him, a real thing, a real help for him.
Right. Right. I also wanted just to say, confirm with Allura as well. I was getting something very similar, that he's just needs to go through what he needs to go through. And it is hard when somebody we care about so much. But again, you know, definitely the prayers. And one thing I always suggest to people is, you can call upon your angels to communicate with his angels to, provide comfort to him in any way possible. You know, he has free will, but you're able to ask your angels to help out. And just say, can you just, work with his angels and just to give him some strength and comfort, however he needs it to get through what he needs to get through. So just, it's hard to let go. I understand, but that is also another thing you can do in addition to prayer, if that's something that resonates for you, of course. But just, putting that positive energy out that, always keeping him in your thoughts. And you're there for him, even if you're not physically there for him. So,
okay.
Well, thank you for calling, and best of luck to you.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have another caller, and this will probably be the last one. We have someone from Florida on the line. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. What is your name, please?
You all hear me? I'm sorry. My name is Maggie.
Maggie. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you. My question is actually a relationship question. My problem is that I was in a relationship with my boyfriend. We've had a lot of problems, and so we decided to end our relationship late last year. My question really was if there is the possibility of a reconciliation, or is this relationship pretty much done with? Because I still have very strong feelings for him. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how he really feels about me. And, we've spoken about, taking this relationship much further, like starting a family, getting married, all of that. And then all of a sudden, due to our problems, we just had to end it. I mean, I was the one that really initiated all of that. And that was kind of my question for now.
Okay.
Okay. Can I ask what your date of birth is, please?
Sure. It's July 30th, 1982.
Sorry, the May 30th, did you say?
July 30th.
Oh, July 30th. Okay. And what is your ex-partner's birthday?
His birthday is June 12, 1978.
June 12th, okay. Okay. Well, when I ask my guides about the situation, I feel that there is good potential for the relationship. Mm-hmm. It seems when I ask my guides to give me insight, they show me a situation where there's a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding, and they don't show me a situation in which something dreadful happened and there was a significant event that caused the breakup. It seems more about misunderstanding and misalignment of your direction. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Good, because it makes me feel that it's almost. I almost said silly. It's not that it's silly. It's never silly, but it's almost as though it's a little petty. There's not really a solid reason for the separation, and that makes me feel that there is potential for the two of you. Now, does your partner have medium brown to darker hair?
Yes.
Okay, because my guides are just showing me somebody with medium brown to darker hair. And this is a person that's clever. This is a smart person, quick-witted and picks up on things quickly, right?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm.
And also a person that has the gift of the gab. So this is somebody mm-hmm. that can talk their way in and out of anything, so quite difficult to communicate with somebody that always wins the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That's one of our main problems that I've had with him. He always thought he was right all the time.
Yeah,
that was a problem.
And you have to recognize that you're not necessarily going to change him because it's part of his makeup. He's a sociable and popular, bright person, but. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who, in conversation, is difficult to win over. The good thing is that he's very resourceful, very very flexible in his work and his life, and somebody that's very resilient as well gets through difficult situations quite easily. Yes. Also, a character that doesn't find it easy to settle, so work-wise, and doesn't always find it easy to get in the right niche or the right field, because it's somebody that's multi-talented and multitasks, so he can spread himself too thinly, and that can become a frustration, right?
I hate to do this, guys. We need to really wrap up the show really sharp tonight. So Maggie, if you would love to have a reading with Steve, I recommend that you check his schedule on psychicaccess.com. And I'm sorry to cut it off, but we need to wrap up the show. Thank you for your call and have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Okay, and I just want to make an announcement to everybody listening before we go. We are offering free readings on Thursday, February 3rd. So I recommend you guys come back and give us a call. And I believe it's 2 hours of free reading. So, hey, what else could you be doing on a Thursday night? So that sounds like a good deal. But anyway, listen, it's been a wonderful show, and I want to thank everybody this evening and my co-hosts, Maureen, Steve, and Allure. Would you like to say your thank yous and farewells?
Sure. If I may begin myself, is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to let everyone know I have been with Psychic Access Talk Radio for 8 months now. And it has been a wonderful, enlightening, and enriching experience for me. I have become so busy doing lectures, workshops, readings, and work projects that I have very little time to dedicate to a show of this caliber. So I've had to make a choice to leave the show. But I want to thank you all for being so warm and welcoming during the time that I've been with Psychic Access Talk Radio. I hope I've contributed to my co-hosts, Doug, our executive producer, our listeners, and our guests, as much as you've all contributed to my personal growth joy, and learning. I'll still be with Psychic Access, so if you'd like to visit me, please feel free to do so at psychicaccess.com. And I wish the very best to Doug and my co-host, my wonderful co-host, for a wonderful and prosperous future with PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, and a warm hug to everyone who's been with us throughout this time. God bless to everyone. Have a wonderful week and lots of love, joy, prosperity, warmth, happiness, and abundance in every area of your lives. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, Allure. And good night, Maureen. And good night, Steve.
Good night, guys. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Next week. Bye-bye.